All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So I wanted to talk a little bit. Phone lines are clear, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want to talk right now a little bit about Tyson Foods. And this is an amazing story. I don't know. Some of you live in rural areas. And so you see these large farms and that cover. That's got to be a sight to see. The size of all of those animals in one area and the damage that they create. But this is about Tyson Foods, and it uses land twice the size of New Jersey to feed its factory farmed animals. Now, let me give you a little idea of just how many animals we are talking about. 6 million cattle, 22 million hogs, and almost 2 billion chickens, all in one place.
With one company.
Yes, and this is in one place. Can you imagine the feed that they have to produce in order to feed those animals? Are you aware that if you produce 100 pounds of corn and feed it to beef, just 100 pounds of corn that you feed to one cattle, guess how much meat you get out of that 100 pounds of corn?
Ooh, I have no idea.
3 pounds of edible beef.
3 pounds.
Damn. Out of 100 pounds of corn to feed one animal. And the best you can get out of that animal and that 100 pounds of corn is only 3 pounds of edible beef. Now, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around just how much land and just how much damage is really being done, you know, to the earth. You know, and yet you've got people who keep saying, we need to stop all this talking about conserving the earth and the damage that's being done to the earth. The amount of land required to grow food for animals to eat is one of the major environmental problems with factory farming. The main crops grown to feed animals are corn and soybean. And these crops consume 56% of the U.S. cropland in 2020. 56% of cropland is utilized just to feed the animals.
I mean, when we talk about our ability to solve world hunger, this is the sort of thing we're addressing. Like, we are able to produce tremendous amounts of food. There is no reason why anybody should go hungry. We have the capacity.
But if we are utilizing 56% of the cropland just to feed the animals, and the fact that we add to that hormones that help speed up the growth of the animals, now and in the long run, all of that then impacts the health of you and I. You got to ask the question, man. Does it make sense to allow corporations to warehouse that many animals in one area, and the health and safety and well-being of those animals crowded into areas? Now, even though we're here talking about an area of New Jersey that that's twice the size of New Jersey, when you talk about, again, Where is it at? 6 million cattle. Can you envision, Evan, 6 million cattle?
No.
I'm a guy who loves the old cowboy movies, man. I watch them over and over and over. And you would see as they would herd the cattle and they were getting ready to take them off to be slaughtered. And you see 200 to 300 head of cattle and you say, wow, man, that's a lot of cattle. Try to envision 2 million.
Yeah.
And the in one place.
Yeah.
You know, and then what was it? 22 million hogs. Man, would you want to be somewhere where there are 22 million hogs? Can you imagine the damage?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. No.
Man, 22 million hogs in one place. And then you've been around. You get to smell chickens. You know what they're like.
Yeah, yeah.
2 billion chickens in one place.
And for those who don't know, chicken farms are rancid, rancid locations.
I know,
it's
man.
Rough. It's rough.
Hey, can you imagine 2 billion chickens?
And it in really one pisses me off because it doesn't have to be like this. We've seen what small farms look like. I have. They're beautiful. It's so cool to see somebody sustainably producing, you know.
But we also know that these corporate farms and the damage that they cause to the health of the to the water, what happens to water and land and all of those things. Who do we have on the line?
We have Susan from her car.
Hey, Susan, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, my friend?
Oh, I say we have to take back our food, Earl. This is ridiculous. Over the years, they've outsourced everything, and we've outsourced our food, the quality of food. The ranchers out west pay very little to graze their cattle on government property, which is why they round up all the wild horses to get rid of them so that that doesn't compete with the cattle out there. And Tyson's got chicken farms in Oklahoma that people can't even open their windows in the summer. We just have to start boycotting these companies and just not buy their food and start trying to get our communities to grow their own food.
You know, because our nation is a nation for the most part, and it's getting better of meat eaters, mm-hmm. You know, that's certainly changing. Vegans a lot of people are starting, the younger they are, the more they realize,
yeah,
you know, that eating meat is not always good for you. When I was coming up, they never told me. Yeah, you know, it was like you need to eat meat every day.
Oh, yeah, got it. Yeah, the steak every evening. Oh, yes.
Yes, man. And the more steak you got to eat, it showed just how healthy you were financially to be able to eat meat all the time. And now we have a nation that is so, you know, strung out on meat. And they continue to, everywhere you look, their commercials about that meat.
And that's the crazy thing, is those very commercials are feeding this exact same system that you're talking about. These massive industrial farms causing huge amounts of damage. Like, it's this sustaining cycle. You, the people, must eat it.
You know, man, over the last 3 years or so, my meat consumption has really gone down less than 50% of what I used to eat in the way of meat. And I'm going to take it down even further than that, because as you get older, the impact of eating all of that meat shortens your lifespan.
Yeah.
Even more. But I thought you'd think about this. If a gorilla, as big and powerful as gorillas are, they don't eat any meat.
They like to munch on them leaves.
Hey, Evan, a horse, as big and strong as a horse is, it doesn't eat any meat.
Here's something that'll elephant, mess your mind up, you know.
A cow, as big and powerful as animals are.
That we eat this meat, doesn't eat meat itself.
They don't eat any meat.
Oh,
a giraffe. As big as a giraffe is, It doesn't eat any meat. When I was a young boy, they had us believing that meat was what helped make you big and strong. And certainly it was part of the food pyramid. Meat was always there. And so now they've been able to put this kind of thing together. Who do we have on the line?
We have Mary from Wauwatosa.
Hey, Mary, how you doing, my friend?
Hi, just fine, thank you, Earl and Evan. On subject, you know, I've been following it's a Thursday evening, 6 o'clock our time. It's called sustainabilitynow.global. And these two people, Mira and Scott, you know, they have their eye on all things that are going to be, you know, helping us to make for a better world, i.e. sustainable. One of their presentations some weeks ago was called Better Meat for a Better World, and that's what brought this up, you know, to my mind. Back in 2018, a man by the name of Paul Shapiro, his activism led him to start the Better Meat Company. You know, in other words, replacing meat from animals with a next-generation plant-based micro-protein superfood. I think we're all hearing about that idea. You know, people aren't likely going to go fully vegetarian, vegan, you know, but as much as we can replace meat with, you know, plant-based diet, it's a good thing. But anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I got to tell you, I found out, I'm amazed at how that taste, plant-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the impossible meat.
Meat, stuff, it tastes like meat.
It's getting better and better and better.
Oh, it really is. Mary, I'm sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, so anyway, I'd just like to call sustainabilitynow.global to people's minds. And they're looking for more people to join. It's a Zoom presentation, so we usually watch a video and then, you know, talk about what the video is about afterwards, share a lot of ideas, and just phenomenal.
Well, you know, Mary, younger people have gotten it long before you and I, and many of the younger people have learned that, listen, you know, John Wayne, as big and tough as John Wayne was, John Wayne died early, and part of it was his cigarette smoking and the fact that he ate steak every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, nobody ever thought that steak would, you know, would cause you any problems. But can you imagine, you know, what his colon and all the other things look like eating steak every day?
Yeah, there's a quote, when we know better, we do better. Bottom line, you know, and, you know, we're making progress.
Hey, Mary, thank you as always. We'll talk soon. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.